Week one of the NHL season is in the books, and of course, week one is overreaction week. We talk about some of the early overreactions in the National Hockey League. We're going to go over three Canadian teams and where their statuses are right now, including the Leafs, Oilers, and Canucks. We'll also talk signings, injuries, and more on episode 154 of the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go! Tuesday, October the 18th, recording a little bit later today, actually played hockey earlier today at Budweiser Gardens in London, Ontario, where the London Knights play. Just a little pickup league. I haven't played since last spring, since the spring, I guess, and I gotta be honest, a lot more exhausted than I thought I would be. Like, I still work out and go to the gym and whatnot, but this, you can't replicate going on the ice and playing nonstop shinny for like an hour and a bit. So that was a lot of fun. Welcome into the episode. We are a week into the National Hockey League season, and there are obviously overreactions going on. So we'll get to all those in just a little bit. Make sure you follow along on Instagram and Twitter at ST Hockey Podcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, at Calgamart on social media are my platforms, Instagram and Twitter as well. We are going to talk about the Leafs, their goaltending situation, their early starts, why not to panic, similar to the Oilers, but it's going to be a different conversation with them. The one team I am a little worried about is the Vancouver Canucks. We'll talk about them in just a little bit. Signings, injuries, suspensions, all coming up later as well. But before I get to the Leafs, this is like your yearly reminder that we are what? Some teams have played 2, 3, 4 games. I think some are at 5 in the regular season. Teams go on streaks at all points of the year. Beginning, middle, end. But because it's the beginning of the season, it's easy to overreact to your team's performance. Boston hasn't lost a game yet. Carolina hasn't lost a game yet. No, those two teams are supposed to be good, but they're not going 82-0. Here's another example. Tampa Bay is 1-2 to start the year. Tampa Bay will be fine. The Oilers are 1-1 this year. They will be fine. But again, talk about them later. The Flyers, a lot of people had no idea how the Flyers are going to do. They are 2-0. How long is that going to last? The Red Wings, 2-0-1 on the year. They made a lot of changes, but it's the same question. Minnesota Wild are 0-3. I don't think their goaltending is going to give up 6 a game every single game. It's just not going to happen. That'll get fixed. They're a better team than that. But what I'm trying to say is there is a lot of season left. Teams are figuring out line combinations. Goaltenders are getting accustomed to the season. Things will settle in. Team system, power plays, penalty kills, all that stuff. It'll get sorted. The lesser teams will start to slip. The better teams will make their way to the tops. It's the nature of sports. It's just the way things go. So however your team is doing, you know, be a fan, react, be upset when they lose. That's fine. I was upset earlier this week. But this is like your yearly reminder to take a deep breath. We're 4 games in of 82. A lot of hockey left to be played. The good teams figure it out. The lesser teams slip a little bit. Everything will work itself out to where things are. If you're a fan of the Red Wings and they're doing well, ride that train. Maybe they're good this year. You know, maybe this is the year that a better team falters a little bit like Minnesota. We don't know that. But don't just assume Minnesota's going 0-82. Like, you know what I mean? But just enjoy the ride, the ups and downs. It's just a bigger deal because we have such a small sample of games. And it's why right now in the regular season, there are a lot of overreactions going on. Speaking of overreactions, let's get to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So Maple Leafs last night, they played the third string goaltender, Eric Shellgren. They lose to Arizona 4-2. There was a stat. Toronto has not beaten Arizona at home in regulation since 2002. So 20 years of Arizona coming to Toronto. Toronto has not beaten them in regulation one time in that time frame. They also lose goaltender Matt Murray for 4 weeks with an adductor injury, was placed on LTIR. So let's all take a break for a second. A lot of people are overreacting. Oh, the Leafs. Their goalie's hurt. They're one injury away. Every team's an injury away. Let's stop there for a second. There's a reason Toronto... By the way, Toronto's 2-2 on the year. Let's not overreact and be like, the sky is falling. Matthews only has one goal in four games. Like, he started slow last year and then absolutely went on a tear. There is a reason Toronto went out and got two brand new goaltenders. Because both goalies last year, injury prone, inconsistent, didn't live up to standard. They had the 29th 5-on-5 save percentage in hockey and set a record, a team record for points in a season. Ilya Samsonov is 2-0 with the two goals against average and a 925 save percentage. Yes, it's two starts, but they have got two guys who have assumed number one roles before. Toronto can't afford right now Matt Murray to go on LTIR. It actually opens up a little bit of room, almost $4 million. Timothy Liljegren's coming back from injury. Jake Muzzin's going to be out for... Like, there's a lot of moving pieces. Toronto dealing with injuries right now, but there's a reason Toronto got two different goaltenders. It's that, God forbid, something happens to one, they got another one right now. So I didn't even watch the game last night between Toronto and Arizona. They always play down to their opponents. Then they get up for big games, right? Not that it didn't get up against Montreal, but season opener in Montreal, it meant more to Montreal than it did Toronto. I'm sorry. It just did. Arizona, it's a Monday night in Toronto. Sheldon Keefe came out and said basically they dominated for about a 2-minute span. And the Leafs went, we're going to control this entire game. They lost focus. They lost. It's early in the year. But I don't understand why everyone freaks out about the goalie situation. Yeah, Matt Murray's hurt. Injuries suck. You know, the Ottawa Senators are 0-2, and the goalie that they acquired, Cam Talbot, is out for 5 to 7 weeks. How about Minnesota? Marc-Andre Fleury's giving up like 7 a game right now. Their goaltending has been abysmal. Edmonton, we're going to talk about them in a little bit. Jack Campbell, healthy, gave up 4-on-11 shots. Injuries happen. Bad performances happen. It's why the Leafs have two goalies. Ilya Samsonov is 25 years of age, or 26. He's on a one-year, $1.5 million deal. He looks great in front of his new team. He looks calm. He looks composed. They have I know Shelgren didn't look great yesterday, but he's a guy who ran with the team last year for a bit. They will live for the next 4 weeks. They did it last year when Campbell was hurt. Mrazek was playing games and Shelgren was playing games. I'm not worried about them. I was down on them just by how close games were being, but it's early. They do this every year. And then the systems figure itself out, and eventually they get into a rhythm. The top line will get into a rhythm. They will get into a rhythm. There's no need to overreact to this team right now. Let's move on here to the Edmonton Oilers. Now, same thing with the Oilers. They're 1-1. You lost to a good Flames team. You beat them in the playoffs last year. You're 1-1. It's fine. But here's the one thing that, again, everyone talked about thinking it was an improvement. And I said, I don't think it's going to be at all. I think it's a lateral move. The Oilers this year are the exact same as the Oilers last year. They re-signed a couple of other guys, Evander Kane. Right, Duncan Keith's gone, I guess. You got some youngsters filling in on the blue line. The offense looks very similar as well. Your big change was in goal, where Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen both gone. And in now is, I believe, Stuart Skinner as the backup. And Jack Campbell, who is your big free agent signing at a five-year, $5 million pace. Everyone immediately said, oh, that's an upgrade in net. Yeah, from Koskinen, sure. But Mike Smith was actually a pretty good goalie last year. And what's the big knock on Mike Smith? You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes he'll stop everything and he's an absolute brick wall. Other times he's given up 7 goals in a playoff game. Right's all over the place. He's given up shots from center ice. It's kind of what you're getting with Jack Campbell. Remember last year, if you look at his stats as a whole, yeah, they look great. 914 save percentage last year, 926 the year before. He had like a 267 goals against last year. He had like a 2.2 the year prior. Right, you look at it in a vacuum, and it's like, oh, he's a great goalie. Sign him. Well, if you don't remember last year, he got off to this hot start where he was a 1.6 or 1.8 something goals against and a 930 something save percentage. And then he had 3 months where he was awful. He had like a 3.5, 3.6 goals against. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I know he was an 880 save percentage goaltender for like a 20 game span. Like it wasn't like it was 2 or 3 games and he was back. It was long stretches of great play, followed by a long stretch of horrific play. He was healthy and wasn't getting a net for Toronto because Toronto's like, you can't stop anything right now. He was openly going to the media and saying, I don't know what's going on. It's bad. I'm going to figure it out. And it took him a while. And then he kind of found a happy medium at like a 9-10, 2.5, 2.6 goals against average. And that's kind of where he ended up on the season. And yeah, like he had some good moments in the playoffs, but he didn't steal a game for Toronto in the playoffs last year. Game one, they won, was it 5-6 nothing? Game two, they got smoked. Game three was the closest game that came to him stealing a game. It was close in the third period at 3-2. Campbell made a couple big saves on a power play, and then the Leafs iced it at the end of the game. But in game seven, he got outdueled by Vasilevsky. He had like an 8.96 save percentage. He had a 3-point-something goals against in the playoffs. Where I'm going with this is, he's kind of like a younger version of Mike Smith. A little less, you know, roller coastery and erotic, but nothing's going to change. You're going to get those sporadic games where Campbell gives up 4 goals in under 11 minutes against the Flames and gets pulled afterwards. Now the player's saying, you know, no, nothing to do with him. He was amazing, 100% on us. Those Leon Draisaitl about Jack Campbell. Remember, their win this season, last Saturday, they were down 3-0 to the Vancouver Canucks. Jack Campbell gave up 3 in that game. And they had to score 5 straight just to beat Vancouver, who's reeling. We're going to talk about them in a sec. I'm not saying Edmonton's going to be worse. I'm not saying they're not going to make the playoffs. I'm just saying nothing's going to change. The sporadic, inconsistent goaltending, it's what you're going to get. It's why Toronto didn't want to pay him for 5 years. Last year was about as peak you'll get from Campbell in a full season. He'll have all-star months. He'll have backup months. And then around some point, he might find that happy medium. But right now, he's in the backup spot. He gave up 3 against Vancouver, and he gave up 4 in an 11-minute span against the Flames. He will have good games. He will have really bad games. It's who he is as a goaltender. I think it's why, I mean, there was friction between the two sides, but I think it's why Toronto didn't want to pay him. Because Toronto said, we know exactly what you are as a goalie, and we still couldn't get out of the first round, so we're going to not sign you. And they went out and they got Murray, who, injury history, and he's hurt right now, but he's only got 2 years left on his deal. They can buy out the last year of his contract or just put him on LTIR. Samsonov's on a 1-year deal. And if he plays great, you can sign him for another 3 or 4 years at like $3 million. And again, he's 26. I'm going to be very intrigued to see how the Oilers fans see this moving forward, because a lot of people, well, I mean a lot of people, but some people, Chris Stewart, had Jack Campbell winning a Vezina, who was a Toronto media market guy, who was one of the people who basically said that Campbell wasn't good enough. But now he goes to Edmonton, and he's a Vezina candidate. It is very funny how that works. I tweeted about this. I don't have the tweet in front of me right now, but the tweet basically said, imagine if Campbell was still a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Imagine the amount of hate that this dude would get. Here's the tweet. Man, Leaf Nation would be tearing apart Campbell if he gave up 4 as a Leaf last night to the Flames. Quotes like, Dubas overpaying his players again, classic L. Or, Campbell's a career backup, and we signed him for $25 million. It's funny that now he's in Edmonton, we don't hear any of that. It's, Toronto traded for a goalie with injury history. No, they took a contract, got a second-round pick, and salary retained, were able to put salary on LTIR, and now can call up players to get chances to work their lineup out while the player's on injured reserve. I'm not saying that that was planned, but then they also went out and signed Ilya Samsonov, who has been a starter in this league, is a former first-round pick, is just 25 years of age, and has a real opportunity to immerse himself as a starting goaltender behind a way better defensive core than he had in Washington. Can you tell I have thought about this for some time? I think that Dubas probably missed on Murray, but I think he hit on Samsonov. And I'm not saying the Oilers missed on Campbell. I think Oilers fans need to readjust their expectations as to what Jack Campbell is as a goaltender. He was always a 1A, 1B in Toronto. It's probably what he is in Edmonton too. And I'm sorry, in Edmonton's D core might have guys like Darnell Nurse. And I know Evan Bouchard's going to be a really good player. But that D core isn't spectacular by any means. They looked awful against the Flames. They will be better, but it's not Boston. It's not Colorado. It's not St. Louis. So you're going to have to entrust a lot in your goaltender. Don't get your hopes up too high, Oilers fans. It's probably going to be a lot of the same as it was with Mike Smith. All right, I want to finish off here with one team that I know we talked about overreactions, but one team that I am genuinely concerned about is the Vancouver Canucks. Yes, they're 0-3. Yes, it's early. Yes, there's lots of time left. But it's not that they're losing games. It's how they're losing. Listen to this stat. The Vancouver Canucks set a dubious mark in their last loss, becoming the first team in NHL history to lose their first 3 games of the season, blowing multi-goal leads in each and every game. They had a 3-0 lead on the Oilers in game 1. They lost 5-3. They had a 2-0 lead on the Flyers. They lost 3-2. They had a 4-2 lead on the Washington Capitals last night. They lost 6-4. JT Miller, before yesterday's game, saying, I think I've been on the ice for all 8 goals. It sucks. Bo Horvat, keep saying we got to learn from it, but enough's enough. They had a players-only meeting following last night's game in which they had multiple leads in. Now, Boudreaux saying that their team is mentally weak. When you're calling your team mentally weak 3 games into the regular season, bad vibes. It's different this year. You don't come in halfway through the season after Travis Green is fired and everyone's like, oh my God, Bruce is the hero. Everything's great. We're winning games. A new season starts. You're the guy. And you've got to get out to a start. You've got to get the attention of the team. But already calling your team mentally weak? That's where I'm concerned. I wasn't concerned about Washington starting 0-2. You don't know why? Because it's Washington. They always figure it out. No Backstrom, no problem. They have always found a way to be a really good NHL team in the regular season. They've had playoff success in the past as well. You've got Ovechkin, you've got Kuznetsov. We'll talk about him in a sec. And you got your new goaltender in Darcy Kemper. Carlson on the back end. You know what I mean? Washington can always score goals. And so can Vancouver. But man, a lot of people didn't understand Vancouver's game plan. You know, they made all these moves. They got rid of all their 1-year players left. They brought in Oliver Ekman-Larsson. They brought in Jason Dickinson. They brought in Connor Garland. Then they moved Dickinson. They shipped out a couple other guys. Then, you know, Miller was possibly going to be gone. They re-signed him long-term. Besser might have been taking some trade calls. They re-signed Besser. Now they need to find money for Bo Horvat. And then they got to win. They're at a very intriguing spot right now. And if they don't, I'm almost scared a little bit too that they're going to enter that mediocre realm where they're not good enough to make the playoffs, but they're not bad enough to get like a lottery pick. And they've got good players. Lise Pettersson, Quinn Hughes. I love Horvat as a player. I love Connor Garland. Thatcher Demko is a very good goaltender. But it's just, it's going to be interesting. Right now, the PK isn't great as well. The Capitals scored twice on their PK. Their penalty kill right now is at 50% on the season. They're giving up 6 goals on 12 opportunities. Last year, they had historically, through the first half of the season, the worst penalty kill percentage in hockey. It's already off to a bad start again. If I'm a Canuck fan, I'm concerned. I genuinely am concerned about them. Even though it's 3 games, it's not that they're losing. It's how they're losing. All right, let's go through some quick hits here before we finish off the podcast. The breaking news story, Capitals forward Evgeny Kuznetsov is suspended for 1 game for high-sticking a Canuck player last night. I believe Kyle Burrows, the defenseman. There was a battle along the boards. Burrows knocked Kuznetsov down, and then Kuznetsov came back, whacked him around close to the face area. I thought he would have got multi-games, like 2, 3, 4 maybe, but they settled on 1. I believe it's because he is a first-time offender, but nevertheless, 1 game for Evgeny Kuznetsov. Red Wings forward Tyler Bertuzzi going to be out for the next 4 to 6 weeks with an upper body injury. He helped Detroit win its first 2 games, but ultimately the team made the decision yesterday before hosting the Kings. Capitals also announced they signed unrestricted free agent winger Sonny Milano to a 1-year deal with $750,000. He was released by the Calgary Flames on a PTO. He went through waivers. He cleared them to the AHL's Hershey Bears. He will probably come up and be a big part of this team. The Capitals right now are trying to figure out money-wise, and they're trying to work some things out. Sonny Milano had a pretty decent year last year, too. He had 14 goals, 20 assists in 66 games, and very good underlying numbers. So Washington seems like a very good fit with him. Montreal Canadiens defenseman Mike Matheson expected to miss 8 weeks due to an abdominal strain. That was announced last Thursday. They placed him on LTIR. They subsequently went out and recalled defenseman Corey Schoenman from the AHL. I'm not sure whether he's going to be completely taking his role, but they just need another body in there as Matheson did not dress as well for Wednesday's opening game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Columbus Blue Jackets star winger Patrick Laine going to be out 3 to 4 weeks as well after spraining his elbow in Wednesday's season-opening loss to the Hurricanes. The injury occurred late in the second period when he was forechecking. He got tangled up with defenseman Brett Pesce. Right arm appeared to be pinned against the boards at an awkward angle. That is a tough loss for Columbus. And the Philadelphia Flyers signed defenseman Travis Sanheim to an 8-year extension, carrying an average annual value, of $6.25 million. That was announced on Thursday. 26 years of age, he's under contract for 1 more season this year at $4.67 million before the extension starts in 2023-24. Okay, a little bit shorter of a podcast episode today, but I think I got to everything. There's too many like minor storylines going on, so I tried to hover on the big ones. If you've got any for me, please feel free to send them my way. Just DM me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, at ST Hockey Podcast. You can listen to the podcast online, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. I am going to try and work more towards getting content up on YouTube and whatnot, but for the time being, I'm just going to try and stick to what I'm doing. And if I can find a more efficient way to do so, then I'll try and get them up on YouTube. All right. Enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy as the NHL season continues to roll on out. I will see you next Tuesday. And until then, that's a wrap.